Hello and welcome to Verge's Alternative F1 Podcast. This is episode 2 and I am joined by Sam Wilson and Matthew Connell.
Hello.
Hello, guys.
The quarantine edition.
Yeah, this is, we are all away from each other. Just before anyone starts, we are we couldn't be further away from each other.
I'm hundreds of miles away. I'm back in the countryside.
I think we did a hugely optimistic kind of thing in that first episode. We were kind of hopeful that Melbourne was going to go ahead, and now we've lost a lot of races. Here we are.
Well, just to recap, right? So our first ever episode was recorded a week Thursday, and we at that point. We didn't know whether there was going to actually be a race. So at that time, obviously, we were F1 fans, we were race fans, or sports fans, and we were really hoping that we would actually be able to get a race. And obviously, they cancelled it in the last minute. I mean, just on that, guys. Obviously, you know, we've been dealing with a lot bigger things in the world than sports. But I mean, how do you think that was? What's your take on how that was handled? And how the events came about?
I guess I'll kick it off because I think I will have the least intelligent kind of response to it. But I think if we're taking all of sport and all of the world actions, and of course F1 brings the world together, so I think it's a sensible shout. I think the inevitable was kind of issued, and I think we've seen some pretty hefty casualties, and I think the most striking one is that Monaco has kind of put their hands up and said, look, there's no possible way that we could rearrange this race for any time of the year. See you next year.
I'll let you go, Sam. It was shocking. What did you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with Matt. It was the right decision. I think Melbourne being the start of the season, it's also one of the biggest Grand Prix because it's a street circuit in a sense. So it's held in a park. I think last year there was like 340,000 people there. So to cancel that GP, it's a big deal, but it's also, I feel like it's the right decision. I think everything that's been going on with COVID-19, it's the right decision. As a F1 is a community, and we know that first Grand Prix is madness for all F1 fans. We all tune in, everyone that can make it goes. So getting that many people together to watch a race would have been a bit dangerous. And I think after McLaren's race engineer, I think it was one of the engineers, was tested positive, I feel like it was the right decision. I know there was a couple of bits of shade thrown in the paddock, but I feel like at the end of the day, it was the right decision.
Oh, we're definitely going to get into that 100%. I mean, just quickly, guys, because we had a really, although obviously it was like a bit of a hectic first show, we pulled it together. And I just want to thank you to the audience who actually listened to the show and give us really good great feedback. We had a lot of views for the first ever show, especially on YouTube as well. So thank you guys for supporting us, and we will continue to give you our take on the sport that we love. Right, okay, so we'll just get into it. I mean, just really quickly before I hand it over to the experts, these two guys, I'm a rookie at this. the postponed Grand Prix officially at the moment are Melbourne, Bahrain, Vietnam, Shanghai, and I can't pronounce the last one. It is in Holland.
Zandvoort.
Zandvoort. You see, I wasn't even going to try and do that one because just in case.
It's honest. I like that.
Yeah, honestly, I make a fool of myself more than enough in front of my kids, not in front of complete strangers too. Guys, let's start from the top. I mean, just as Sam was mentioning, the shade. Let's get into that real quickly. What was your view on some of the actual comments that were put on that were coming out over the last few days from the other teams about Ferrari and Mercedes?
So from what I've seen from Red Bull, so what I saw in the news was that there was basically Red Bull wanted to race, right? So Helmut Marko had come out and said, "We're ready to race. There was reports that AlphaTauri, Haas and Racing Point also wanted to race, but Helmut Marko came out with a comment that said basically the rest of the teams don't have their engines, which you kind of need that to race. So I understand why they said they can't race, that's a fair point. But I feel like
so just to dumb it down, just for new people in the sport. So obviously, Ferrari and Mercedes obviously provide engines to other teams as customers. But are you? Was he alluding to them saying, "Listen, you know, if you want our engines, you're gonna side with us."
Well, I feel so. Haas, obviously, Haas are a Ferrari customer. They would have had their engines. Racing Point again, a Mercedes customer. And AlphaTauri being a Honda customer. I feel like what had happened was there was so much chopping and changing whether Melbourne was going to go ahead, whether it wasn't going to go ahead. Some teams got a bit ahead of themselves. This is from what I read, that some teams got a bit ahead of themselves and said, maybe we shouldn't get everything sorted. And then when the race was set to go ahead, they were like, oh, crap, we haven't got an engine. And I feel like Helmut is the one in the paddock that speaks the truth, no doubt, regardless of what anyone says to him. So he came out and basically said, they haven't got engines, that's why we can't race.
Jeez. But
we know that's not the entire case. We know that, you know, the COVID-19 stuff had caused, there was a lot of stuff going on behind closed doors. When we were recording the last podcast, we had heard rumours that two people in F1 had said to the BBC that the race wasn't going to go ahead. Mm. There hadn't been any official confirmation. So I feel like in terms of the paddock itself being in that paddock on that race weekend or potential race weekend, it would have been havoc. It would have been like, where's the engine? Where's the steering wheel? It would have been a Kimi Raikkonen and leaving the garage, like, give me my gloves.
There'd be a car coming out, like, put together like Lego.
100%.
But that's a really hard thing, isn't it, about this? You know, whenever you go to F1, you get to experience races, you're there from practice up to the race.
Mm.
Even as a spectator, as media, you're in a
bubble.
You'd
love to see every aspect of it.
Yeah, but you're in a bubble, and you can just imagine all these teams, all these engineers, all these race directors are going, yeah, let's just crack on. And I think, as you would have seen through the spread of COVID-19, that depending on what part of the world you're in, the severity level is completely different. So some people might be thinking, oh, this might not be a big deal at this point. But now I think everyone universally is on the same page.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I'm being honest. Like, I was being super selfish at that point because I wasn't taking it. As even though I have stayed in, I've actually only been out one time this whole week. But at that point, I was being very much like, oh, okay, well, we can find a way to race because I was just so desperate for a race. But obviously, in retrospect now, looking back, they made the collective right decision late, but they made the right decision. Matt, there's some other positive news that have come out from Formula One.
Absolutely. I think this is one that as we were kind of, you know, going through the pages and reading about what's going on, you know, thanks to wonderful, it's all about coronavirus, but I think Sam brought it to our attention that, you know, the F1 teams are starting to work in making ventilators and trying to support with their kind of, you know, engineering expertise in supporting this fight. So it's incredible. We've seen it where companies like BrewDog apparently are saying they're making hand sanitizer. So, you know, if you want to have your hands smell like a boozer, but you're safe, safe from the virus, man, you're right up your street. But I think
something I wouldn't be mad at.
Exactly.
I mean, the pubs have been closed now, so you're going to have people, lots of new friends licking your hands, if that's really,
exactly.
Which is not the actual idea of the whole spacing.
it's a way to give confidence across your peers and circles once this all kind of blows over.
That's true.
As far as how long it might take, we don't know. But I think that's what's been really exciting. BBC had a really good article explaining, you know, what teams at the moment do have the possibility to really help with this. McLaren, Red Bull, Williams, Mercedes, and Ferrari all being teams that are well equipped to make this happen. The UK needs 20,000 ventilators at this stage extra to deal with the crisis. So I think this is just a really, really, really great thing. You know, especially the Italian teams like Ferrari, you know, they have a real, you know, they want to help the country of Italy, and I think help the wider world. You know,
I think the biggest thing on this is that, like, I for us F1 fans, and you know, we know how technically advanced these teams are. They, you know, they can fast prototype something in like a matter of weeks. It's like so fast. I don't think we saw this as a surprise come in. Personally, I kind of knew that when, you know, when they were talking about big companies getting involved, almost in the back of my head, I thought F1 should be involved in this because, you know, they've got ventilators in their pit garages. Like, they're ventilating the garages all the time because of fumes. And then it was such a nice feeling to see that actually these four teams in the UK and Ferrari and potentially AlphaTauri in Italy jumped in and said, yeah, you know what? We've got it. Like, we're on a shutdown right now. We can't do anything on the cars. Let's just turn around and make some ventilators, because there's people out there, and also there's people out there that want to watch racing that are struggling. Yeah. So it's such a nice thing to see F1 come together and prove to whoever it is that's out there that's, you know, said, oh, F1's, you know, it's just a sport. It's more than just a sport. It's a community, and they've turned around and said, actually, we can do this. I don't see many other sports having, not out of their own fault, but having the capabilities to do that in such a positive way.
Well, I think this is the exciting thing. I think if you are not a person, if you happen to be listening to this by chance, or you're, you know, you're our friends and family that are just saying what's up and you're not really into F1, but this shows how technically advanced F1 engineers and beyond are. It's incredible to think that there's an adaptability. Wow, hard to say.
You got it there. You got it.
There we go. There in the end, where, you know, you can do a 180 and say, hey, guess what? We're not gonna get those engines ready. Ventilators. Let's do it. And this is what's happening.
I love it. I love the fact that obviously once again it's like people are all around the world are banding together and actually helping each other. The majority of people, except for the toilet roll holders, but we might get into that. So I mean, for me personally, the shocking, thing that happened obviously was, it's weird. It just kind of hit me today. Monaco is cancelled, and that's got such history in it. I mean, like, obviously,
the oldest GP on the circuit, Andre, oldest GP.
It is amazing. I mean, to what's the significance to new people that are coming into F1? Obviously, I know that they see the glitz and glamour and the actors and artists and all those types of things, the yachts. That if anyone wants to put us on there next year, then please, you know, feel free. We will behave ourselves. We're in fact serve people if you want. It's not a problem. So what's the significance about Monaco? Why is it such a special track?
So I feel like Monaco can be summed up. Its significance can be summed up in one kind of accolade. So the Triple Crown, for those that don't watch motorsport, the Triple Crown is something that motorsport drivers of all kind of disciplines, whether it's endurance racing or whatever, it's something that everyone wants to get, and it's an accolade they all want to win. And that Triple Crown is the Le Mans race, the Le Mans 24 Hours.
Uh-huh.
It's the Indianapolis 500, and then it's the Monaco GP. So the Monaco GP is so significant that Triple Crown is made up of three different disciplines. So IndyCar, endurance racing, and Formula One. But that Formula One race is Monaco. And that is, you know, it's the only race where they don't, like, they present the trophy on the steps of the palace. Like, it's incredible. It's that, wow. It's the glitz and the glam. And it summarizes, when you look, people that don't watch, if you've ever seen the film Rush, right? James Hunt, the playboy of Formula One, the glitz and the glam that you see in that movie is basically Monaco on a race weekend. Like, it's incredible. And it's also one of the narrowest tracks. It's got some of the hardest corners. Like, Raskas is one of the hardest corners. It's almost basically a 90-degree turn. Like, it's just incredible. The accidents, the crashes you see. And it's also insanely hard to overtake. So if you see an overtake, you're like, oh, Christ, that was tight. You're millimetres from touching each other. And that's what you don't get that at any other circuit. You're not racing 7 foot away from people in their living rooms. Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to say something a little bit controversial, maybe. For me personally, I love the whole build-up in Monaco, because, you know, everyone likes the glitz and glamour, and as I said, the super yachts and all that stuff. I like all of that stuff. The actual race itself is sometimes a bit more of a procession, because it's like it's extremely hard for anyone to be able to overtake there, and so it sometimes becomes, I can feel people booing me already. But I sometimes
we're gonna fall out on episode two. I can't believe it.
I was about to say
the numbers got crashing down.
Who chose this host, guys?
I gotta say, Dre, I think we'll test you out in 2021 when you're on a yacht watching that race.
Yeah, but that was your favorite weekend.
No, because I will be the best race ever if I get to go, because I'll be like that woman. There's a famous I don't know if everyone's seen it, but there's always a little clip that when the cars are just going past and someone, you rich woman on the yacht, is just doing her workout on a exercise machine. I'm just like, what level of money you've got? Like, it's ridiculous. But I mean, I'm gonna give it a bit more of a chance. But like, I'm into more tracks. There's more overtaking, more wheel to wheel. You know, team orders given because the two cars are gonna take each other out. All of those types of things, you know. Yeah. But so the other races are at the moment is right. I'm gonna not pronounce it again, but the Dutch GP,
Zandvoort.
Because you know I'll get it. We've got two Dutch people in our team, and they always have to correct me on the same track. But so that's at risk as well. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, unfortunately so. And also, I was looking forward to the Dutch Grand Prix because they brought back banking. So the which. You know, when Max did a test lap a couple of weeks ago, and the
it looks amazing.
It looks amazing. And we haven't seen banking in Formula One for ages. Like you see it in the Indy, like in NASCAR and IndyCar, and it's just amazing.
So I'm kind of hoping. That, I mean, well, how likely is it? I mean, obviously none of us can tell, but like, how likely is it to be able to be cut? From what you're from a guess, we'll take a punt here.
I feel like from what the race organizers have said, they're pretty much leaving it up to Formula One and the FIA. So okay. They've basically said, of course, we want to race here. The race has been sold out for months. Of course, they want to do it, but they understand that they've outwardly said the situation in the world right now is more important than racing.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like it's one of those Grand Prix that, kind of like Vietnam, it's new to the calendar this year. It was going to be an incredible spectacle, but it's almost the ones that can be sacrificed because no one knows what to expect. No one knows what the Grand Prix is going to be like. And I think that I think it's going to be one that can be sacrificed, if I'm honest. If Monaco's gone, then nothing's off the table.
So as it stands, our first race could be Azerbaijan, according to the F1 schedule. As it stands, we've got postponed Vietnam, postponed China, postponed Netherlands, Spain postponed, Monaco, tear to my eye, cancelled. So as it stands, the weekend of the 5th to the 7th of June says Azerbaijan. But, of course, we know that this is an ever evolving situation, and it's going to be hard to tell what is going to happen. But, look. All we can do is keep our fingers crossed, keep our eyes on what's going on through the statements, through the announcements, through social media, and keep watching how drivers enjoy themselves while we're just waiting, twiddling our thumbs.
We literally are, and you know, I'm really need some type of racing to come back. But I mean, there's new stuff that is happening just recently. There's some news with that. You know, Matt, you want to tell us what's just been announced?
Well, this is it, right? So I guess the massive knock-on effect of all of my coronavirus and what's been happening, one of the biggest news stories that was coming out that was unmissable for the F1 fan, but might be missable if you're more of a casual fan, is that the 2021 famous rules that were due to be implied have been knocked on till 2022. No, wait, I've got that completely wrong. No, wait.
You got that right.
You're right.
You know what?
Don't second guess yourself.
This year is still new to me, and I feel like I'm a step behind. But yes, exactly. 2021. It's going to be, I think the right thing to do. But I think, Sam, we've chatted before offline about this. So this is actually going to be a really, really sensible move.
Yeah. So for those that aren't up to speed on what the regs were. basically in 2021, the entire car was going to change. So the chassis was going to be different. The ground effect aerodynamics, which is basically where the underside of the car sucks the car to the road to get a better grip around corners, was going to be coming back. That's the first time we've seen that since like Lotus back in the like late 80s, early 90s. But yeah, so basically those changes were going to be coming in next year along with a budget cap. But what's happened is because of the shortened season, that basically means there's less prize money on the table. And that prize money is what keeps a lot of the smaller teams afloat. You know, you've got Mercedes, you've got Red Bull, you've got Ferrari that have got these huge, huge budgets. But you've got smaller teams like Racing Point, like Williams, that like they do incredibly well on the shoestring budget. And then to cut half of the season almost at this point, that's going to eat into their budget for next year. And to develop an entirely new car is ridiculously hard on such a small budget. So postponing them to 2022, it's a good decision, because what you're going to end up with is a year of racing next year, the same as what we'll hopefully have in 2020, where the regulations won't really change much. Mm. We'll have a good season, but we'll give time. The teams will have time to develop a good car and money to develop a good car for 2022. Otherwise, we could end up having 2021 being a terrible season. The cars won't work properly, if I'm going to be totally honest.
So,
it's a good decision in my eyes.
So, out of this, who are the real winners and losers as far as the races go?
Winners and losers, there's a couple. The biggest one for me, I feel, is George Russell. The reason being, like, he's put in a good season last year, but actually spending another year with Williams in another bad car is probably not great, if I'm honest. the poor guy. I mean,
just getting lapped.
He's going to get lapped. I mean, hopefully, touch wood, and I'm touching my coffee table right now, that Williams have got a better car in 2020. You know, they got on the test track first this season, which is great news. That's the last year they missed the first testing. But yeah, I think he's going to struggle, I think, if he's going to continue on. We've already talked about him, Daniel Ricciardo. He's signed to the end of this year. It would have meant either staying with Renault going into the new regs or going into a new team, but he's going to go into a new car or a new team with the exact same regulations. And if he stays with Renault, he's probably not going to be competitive, because I don't think Renault are going to be touching podium points in 2020, if I'm honest. And the honey badge is not going to be coming back.
I mean, that's the one of the things we were all speaking about, you know, a little while ago, is that, you know, if correct me if I'm wrong, but if effectively we're pressing pause on these new changes to the year after next, is that's to me going to put even more pressure on Renault to do something, you know, this season, because obviously he's not going to want to. Daniel Ricciardo is not going to want to have two bad seasons where he's doing nothing. Like, you know, if you're not competing this year, all right, cool, we'll go our separate ways, and then I'll join another team that actually is moving towards that. Yes, all right, okay, might not be as fast as I would like, you know, next year, because obviously, you know, we're going to have the same regulations. But that, you know, when we all get going the season after that, then at least I know I'm competing properly for podiums. Am I right with that kind of assessment?
100%. I mean, no offense to Danny Rick. Dan, if you're listening to this, I love you, man. Don't worry about it. He's getting old now. He's 30.
Wow. Right? He said that. It wasn't us.
Hey, look. Lewis is still winning championships in his 30s. Like, Danny Rick's got it on the table. He's good to go. But no, the whole reason he signed with Renault was because he wanted to be competitive. He wanted, Renault promised that a journey. They said that we were going to be competitive, probably not in the first season, but in the second season, potentially the third season, they were going to be gunning for podiums. And I don't see that possible, because, you know, this year we've already seen them on testing. Then, you know, they're quick, but they're not Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes quick. And if they're using the same chassis next year, then they're not going to be Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes quick next year either. So, yeah, I feel like if Danny Rick's going to get to the end of the season, you know, his contract expires this year. So, like, all cards are on the table, really.
Yeah.
Provided the space, obviously.
Well, he's one of my favourite drivers. So, I love his personality. And I think his personality is one of the biggest things that actually draws people like me, new people into the sport, because we obviously always need to make sure that there's new people following the sport and keeping it as entertaining as possible and fun as possible. Because like someone like you know, all due respect, like Kimi Raikkonen doesn't draw me in to the sport with personalities like his. So yeah, you know, I would really like him to be competing because he's actually, you know, people forget obviously real quick because we get recency bias, is that how good of a driver he is. And he literally goes gung ho. You think that Max Verstappen takes, you know, takes risks. Daniel Ricciardo definitely did when he's at Red Bull.
Danny Rick is the best overtaker in the business, and that's that. But he's also not just an overtaker. He's got good racecraft. Like talking about, I know we were talking about Monaco, but like Monaco, I think it was 2017, maybe even 2018 actually, when his MGUK failed in the race, and he like had to keep Seb Vettel behind him for like I think it was 20 laps or something.
Mm-hmm.
He carried on pushing. He didn't quit. And he won. He won Monaco, and he, like, you know, that for him was a big crown of glory. He's a damn good racing driver. And if anyone on the grid I want to see win a championship is Danny Rick.
So has there been like like the initial reaction from the teams and the drivers to, you know, obviously this effectual pause? Has it been, you know, what do you guys think? Has it been positive from what your opinions?
I think probably, you know, on a sensible level, it's positive. I think for people to just want to race, it must be excruciating. I kind of feel for you know, Nicholas Latifi at Williams, the poor guy is trying to get an F1 debut on the go. And here we go. We're pushing back. We've got the rules being held back. And he's probably just sitting there thinking, my God, what am I going to race, man?
He's probably sat there going, I should have gone to Formula E.
Exactly.
I feel like as a reaction from teams and drivers, it's going to be good because, you know, there was a lot of talk about the 21 regs before. Like, it took a long time to get over the line, really. So in extra years, I don't think anyone's going to complain in an extra year. But, like, going back to what I said, the smaller teams, they need that year. They need that budget. Otherwise, because if there's no prize money, if there's half the prize money this year, if we end up having, you know, losing a lot of the races on the calendar, if there's half the prize money, I generally don't see how 2021 regs next year could have worked. So I think it's a good thing. And I think drivers, they like racing at the end of the day. They're here to race. So they want to get on a track.
Exactly. And without racing, they have to find other ways. And that's why, hey, perfect segue to virtual Grand Prix that's kicking off this weekend.
Yeah.
Bahrain. So we're not being held off racing. We're getting racing. All the racers, as we've seen, you know, keep them preoccupied. Lando Norris, Max Verstappen, flying the flag for the e-gaming scene. You know, there was some amazing stuff going around social media. And if you got to see their live streams, content for days. Hilarious.
Well, I need you guys to be able to walk me through this because I'm just trying to get my head around this. Are you telling me that, like, all of the racers will actually, you know, partake in this? Because I can't see Lewis, Hamilton, Vettel, you know, and Kimi driving on like some type of game.
I don't think e-gaming comes under a hobby for Kimi Raikkonen. So
he's more of an eating ice cream kind of guy.
I have no idea what his hobbies are.
So from what I've seen as that kind of news rolled out, because I think there was quite a lot of initial excitement, and I think that was my initial feelings was, Lewis ain't going to do that. I can't imagine that he would, but you know, we could be left to be surprised. But as far as I can see, there will be a host of different kind of celebrity guests being involved in this. So I think it isn't just closed off just to racers. And I think...
like regular people?
So I would say regular as in, like, if you're the kind of people that have north of 500,000 followers on Instagram, that kind of normal. That is, that's kind of where they're looking to fill those gaps. But look, I think that is one thing that I feel like Formula One has done very well digitally over, you know, the last few seasons. It's kind of immersing the new ways of getting audiences. And I think if they can, you know, in a really, really positive way, push this out, make people aware that, hey, this isn't going to be like a serious thing. No one's going to win. Beautiful trophy. Isn't it going to be champagne sprayed around your PlayStations and whatnot? It's just like, you know, we're going to keep this together. And then I think we're going to be in for a really exciting live stream that kicks off 8 p.m. UK time. For the rest of the world, figure out your own time. 8 p.m. is the same. I'm not here.
We're really getting alternative at this point.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Hit it up this Sunday. You do the maths.
This Sunday, at some point, there's going to be some racing on a
pod. Oh my god! That's got to be the soundbite for this show. I love that.
But I've got to say, disclaimer: it's going to be on PC, not PlayStation. So PCs are probably going to be a bit more robust. But either way, it's going to be unbelievable. I think, you know, the only two people you want to see shining this is going to be Lando and Max Verstappen. Maybe this could be Lando's only chance of a podium this season. Let's see.
Okay. Fair point.
I'll be rooting for Lando on this one. I think it's really good that they found a way to be able to, you know, get again, it gets new people involved, gets gamers involved, you know, and then also keeps the fans entertained and actually brings new people into the world of esports, because obviously, lucky enough, you know, Verge, we were pretty much at every esports event, F1 esports event last season. We got to meet all the drivers and you know, where we think it's kind of easy is far from that. Trust me, with my time on the track, I learned very quickly how much of experts these guys are. So definitely, I respect all of the e-gamers, e-drivers, all of e-sports, full stop.
I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing some of these drivers come through, you know. I want to see people like, you know, Kevin Magnussen go up against David Tenitzer, who won the e-sports series last year. That would be so good. That a current F1 driver that's kind of sitting in the midfield, that as F1 fans, we're always like, Kevin Magnussen, he's okay. Right, he's okay. We all, you know, he's one of 20. They're amazing, but we all sit there and go, he's okay. I kind of want to see him get on a different stage and absolutely smash the competition. It would be amazing. If Kevin Magnussen won the Bahrain Grand Prix, that would be incredible.
But this is incredible. This is the incredible thing, right? If there's people that have come into F1 this year through Drive to Survive and didn't, and of course, like we didn't see a lot of Lando Norris through that series, hey, they're going to come into it and be like, whoa, yeah, who's this guy? Lando killing up the gaming scene. With, yeah, you know, it's going to be a really, really, really good way to introduce other races. It's going to be a really good way to surprise people, because we don't know the final, you know, roster of people that are going to be taking part. But I think you can take a guess at which current drivers will be a part of it. You never know. There's going to be all kinds of surprises. We had Timo Courtois, part of Lando Norris's stream this week, and I was thinking, wow, this is... What
he was
a mix.
Doing bits until, he was doing bits until he stopped. But yeah, he won't say. Poor guy. Also, Lando, in his comment, was like, cheeky little spin.
It's a nice new refreshing take. And any sports is better than no sports at all. So, exciting. And thank you, Lando, for actually being the... Would you say that he's the pioneer of this, of the e-gaming, e-sports?
If there was a crown to give, I think you could easily say that he's the guy that, you know, you would say yes. And I think, look at him, he's the most digitally kind of advanced kind of guy at the moment. He just launched his YouTube channel, which is dedicated to his gaming. So he isn't just limiting himself to Twitch. He's really trying to tick every box as far as, you know, audience gaining. And guess what? This is just exactly what it is. You got a young racer tapping into a market where you got a lot of youngsters playing games. Look, we're not going to disclose our ages out here, but I still play games. And you know what? If I'm going to see someone I respect that's owning that, it's I'm true. Interested. So, Lando,
that's the biggest thing. I feel like for me, there's always been this conversation about how getting into F1 is so expensive, right? You know, we've got these stories of like Esteban Ocon and Lewis coming up from like relatively modest upbringings. I feel like e-gaming is the one way people like Lando can inspire these kids to get involved in the sport. Like, if I had a PC that was capable of running graphics of this speed when I was a kid, like, I would have been on it 24/7, which is what Lando said on his podcast last week, that he can sometimes game for, like, 24 hours at a time.
I love that. It's
wicked. Like, Lando's racing with these kids, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, whatever they are. And he's, you know, he's not much older than them, and he's racing a real car. And you like, if you know, if they
and honestly, them, like from what I saw, you know, in our first season on F1 on the esports side, is we saw the teams had the same type of management. Let's say, for example, Daniel from Ferrari, he had the same treatment, media teams, special treatment, as from what I saw, as Seb and Charles Leclerc. Like, you know, when we interviewed him, there was a squad around us. So to make sure that we, you know, were treating him and asking the right questions and treating him well, you know. So, yeah, so, I mean, this is a pathway for you to actually get into one of those teams, you know. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
And I think the exciting thing for us to realise that, you know, talk of the townness isn't going to be limited to one race. You know, as long as we don't have real races, we'll get e-races. So, yeah. Look.
And actually, what you said earlier about, like, do we think Lewis could get involved? Actually, part of me thinks, you know what? Maybe give it 2 or 3 weeks.
You think he's going to go in the first one, though? Do you think?
Lewis loves his fans. I probably don't think the first one, no. I don't think that would be the first one. But we know Lewis loves his fans. And I think, like, there's nothing better the way to connect to your fans. And that's why Lando is loved so much. It's like getting in an e-sport.
See, all right, just lastly on my take on this is that I think with especially with e-game, with e-sports, I think that it's something that you have to be able to laugh at yourself. So because you could spin easy. Now, if you're coming last or you're one of the worst people on there, because obviously you're not as advanced as these other guys who just do this all the time, then are people of the characters of these other drivers, I won't name them, because we still want to be able to speak to them and say hello. But certain drivers, I don't think who are going to have the personality for that to be able to be effectively booked by other people who in real life, obviously, they just usually lap. So, yeah, that it'll be interesting to see who's game to just, you know, have some fun and just do something for the fans, you know?
Well, exactly. And I think I think this is going to be a really curious time. I love what Ben Hunt, F1 journalist, said on Twitter. Why not open it up to, you know, like reserve drivers? You might see Hülkenberg back. This could be beautiful.
I'm screaming for Hulk. 100%.
Can't hold a good man down.
So, I mean, the guys on social media, the guys have been busy on you know, Instagram and all these other things. I mean, what have you guys seen so far on Instagram or other social medias that they have that have been impressed?
Yeah, well, it hasn't been limited strictly to e-gaming, as I think we've kind of figured out with the likes of Lewis and Kimi that, you know, we're not going to see those guys for up a cheeky live stream anytime soon. But, you know, it's a really interesting time because I think we're so lucky as F1 fans through people that, again, through Drive to Survive or through teams Instagram accounts or personal Instagram accounts and the kind of freedom they are given. You know, we get a real insight into their personal lives. And I think that's a really, you know, a really great thing. And I feel like compared to other sports, F1 drivers don't have that nervous, robotic energy where it's the same generic formula. You know, if you see a footballer running through their social media, it's the same kind of process, in and out. You're going to get a footballer that's going to post an image on their Instagram that's posted by their account manager saying, oh, shame about the result, we're back stronger next week. But with F1 drivers, you know, you might get someone to come out and say, hey, that was S-H-I-T. Oh, well, I'll see you next week. And that's what's amazing. And I think what we're, you know, and again, it's, you know, everyone, for some racers hung around, stayed in Melbourne, got their surf on. You know, Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc were hitting up Urban Surf, doing their thing. Not together, but, you know, at separate times. Can you imagine them two say, hey, so what's it like a Ferrari? Hey, once I can do it, I'm taking this barrel.
I'll watch that.
So I think, you know, that looked really great. And I think that's what's really amazing. You think these F1 drivers, you know, they're living life on the edge, zero risk. And, you know, I would be crapping myself. I'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to take any risks doing any kind of, you know, like kind of, you know, surf antics and whatnot. But hey, more power to them. You know,
we've 100%. Now, going back to last summer, where in the season break, when Charles Leclerc did
my full
skydive, which 100% was not allowed. But basically, his justification was, well, if I survived, it's fine. I can get back in a car. If I didn't, then I wouldn't be here for them to tell me off.
Yeah.
Like. Like, these guys are racing around a track at 200 miles an hour. Like, racing, we go back to Monaco, racing on streets that are like thinner than my ruler I had when I was at school. And they're still jumping out of planes in their off time.
They need that. They need that.
That's just a great way. That's a great way to get out of being bollocked to say, yeah, I'm dead. What you do about it?
100%. And this is the thing. Lewis and Charles being like, yeah, well, the race is cancelled in Melbourne, so let's just go surfing.
On the 100%,
guys.
Sorry to cut you. No, I was just saying that on the less exciting side, I'm hearing Bottas was doing something with coffee.
You know what he does? He just drinks. Just drinking coffee. If you wanted to... It wouldn't be too diverse, but what Valtteri does kind of off the track, you know, he's an avid trainer. He loves a duathlon. He's a real athlete, you know, away from the track. And there's two things that Valtteri loves is either getting on his bike, hitting a run, or drinking coffee. So that's the window into the Iceman's.
So this is all he was doing. Iceman's
life.
Like he was,
but, you know what? That's probably more my street. That's probably more up my street, minus the running bit. But getting on a bike, hitting a coffee, and that's as low, low risk drama.
Matt, are you telling me you're a college?
You know what? I'd say I'm more porridge. I'm more porridge in the teller. Get a spoon of teller, slap it in. You got to live life on the edge. You got to flip stuff upside down sometimes.
Well, talking about Valtteri, I did see on his story today. He posted. Was it today or last night? He posted a picture. It was an old picture of him drinking a beer in a race suit. And it was like, when you hear that the race is cancelled for the foreseeable future, and he's just necking a beer. And I was like, oh, okay, Valtteri, coming out of your coffee zone.
you got to watch out for these skins, you know. I think Valtteri's done well to keep, you know, diversity on the drinks. So you know what Kimmy's like. It's like the finish and the beers is a dangerous place to
You know
be.
What, actually, you know, so, you know, obviously, just before we move to, because I was going to ask about Grosjean, because there was something about him teaching his kids at home, which was great. I was saying about bringing people's personalities out, and I do remember saying one thing. Although Kimi Räikkönen is obviously, again, like, to me, not the most interesting person, but I do remember that when it was, I think it was before Monaco last year, and then they had Sky had a jet ski race, and he just came out of his shell, and he was just like racing around, doing flips, laughing and joking and all that stuff. So it's nice to be able to see a different side of some of these drivers, you know, out of their comfort zone.
Well, I think it's a really nice thing. You know, there's a real diversity in age and experience for these drivers. And I think that's a nice thing that I'd never realized of Roman Grosjean when I kind of surfed onto his Instagram account. You know, we've got some drivers that are just taking it easy with their, you know, hitting the waves. You know, there's still people with families. And I think this is what was a really kind of, you know, notable thing that the likes of Seb Vettel and Kimi Räikkönen getting the hell out of Melbourne ASAP Rocky. Before it was even formally announced,
before the race had even been announced,
they were out. They were like,
they probably took the engine.
They jumped. They ducked out, and you know what? I don't blame them, because you know, I think anyone, if you had an opportunity to click your finger, say boom, put me onto that plane, let's get out of here, let's get back to friends and family. Why not? And I think, you know, Roman Grosjean's using his time wisely. He's you know, he's been rocking the teacher on Instagram. He's been teaching his kids how to write at home. And, you know, this is real life. You know, these drivers have, you know, live incredible risk. And in this downtime, it's nice to see that this is an opportunity for them to be home and spend these valuable times with their loved ones. As you know, they've got a very intensive calendar. Some races are back-to-back. They get the odd week in between, but guess what? You're still going to be smothered with media. So in these unique times, I think it's a wonderful thing for these races to enjoy. And, you know, it's a strange one, but why not?
Actually, saying about Kimi Räikkönen, we all know Kimi Räikkönen's a big family man as well. He's got his two kids. Like, he loves his kids. Like, Robin, I've seen Kimi Räikkönen's son on the podium with his dad's trophy before. Like, while Kimi's not the outwardly, as you said, like on a jet ski, he's funny. Like he's a motocross rider, he's a rally driver, he's got his own racing team. Like he loves it, and I think like realistically, he's just got his own personality that is just Kimi Räikkönen, and that's who he is. Same as Lewis is the same sort of person. You know, Lewis does what he wants. Kimi does exactly the same. And so while he's not the most entertaining driver, he's probably one of the most down.
Honestly, as much as we possibly can get of you know, F1, any inkling. Well, thank you F1 for obviously giving us something to be able to watch with the esports, and I'm very, very grateful, as I'm sure the rest of them are, to be able to see more of these drivers competing with each other in any even if it's an egg and spoon race, I would still watch. It doesn't matter. I would take anything at the moment. You know, power bowling, you know, any marbles, whatever it will take, it's fine. So can you imagine?
Marbles.
guys, once again, marbling, like it's been you know, great to talk to you guys, and thank you guys for listening in and tuning in to us again. We'll keep on giving you our weekly take on the world of F1. And I you know, guys, what do you think? Let's take a punt on what do you think is going to happen next in the world of F1? What new surprises are in store? You can throw it out there. You can claim it.
In the world of F1, wow. I think we're going to see Lando Norris dominate the E-game at Bahrain this week. I think we're going to have to figure out if we're going to do another episode or audio or video. Is London in lockdown? Yeah. Is Sam going to get out of the countryside? We don't know.
Get me the city.
No, I think we are. We're definitely looking into giving you some visuals as well, because I know you miss our faces. So, yeah, can you hear my sexual chocolate voice? You have to make do with that for now. Guys, appreciate it. Please, guys, keep on checking out for us on at Verge Mag and www.vergemagazine.co.uk. Check out, obviously, look out for the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, podcasts, and all other great service providers for podcasts. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time. And we are out. Peace.
See you soon.
See you soon, guys.